I don't know how many of you had the opportunity last week to follow Pope Francis' visit to the United States and Cuba before that. The reason for his visit to the United States was he came to attend the conclusion of the meeting, world meeting of families. It was the reason he came. And no, I did not go to Philadelphia to see him. I saw television, couldn't see much of it, but I could see Saturday evening, there was the vigil prayer moment of testimony from families from different parts of the world and some music. I saw parts of it and I heard the Pope preaching on that night and then parts of the Mass on Sunday. Some of that I could follow, didn't follow everything Sunday. It's a busy day to be watching television, but something I saw afterwards. I'm saying that because the readings, especially the first reading, today's Gospel talk, the Pope has said so much about that. Very beautiful way of expressing. First reading talking about creation, you see the book of Genesis explaining that God created the man first because man is more important, and then in second thought he created woman, right? No, maybe some men might be seeing like that. No, it's not right, that's wrong, you know. Just see if somebody was paying attention, you know. Sometimes you see what Father Carlos said in Mass? No, I didn't say that, you know. It's meaning, you know, and the Pope was saying about creation. And one thing that the Pope said on Saturday, I believe, because that was his speech that I heard more talking to the families, he said, well, you might say, how can, you know, the church, he said about the Pope or the bishop or a priest, talk about family since we are not married. How can we talk about family? Well, we talk what we learn from the Gospels, what we hear, what we see, and we come from families. No, my parents were married for 55 years. No, till my mom passed away just over 2 years ago. We are 7 brothers and sisters. My 4 sisters are married. My older brother is married. And my younger brother is engaged for 10 years. No, I don't know, poor girl. I think eventually, I think he's going to get married too, but he's been engaged for 10 years. But my younger brother. So we do come from families. Just to say that family is the base. Now, what the Pope opened our eyes is that we live in a world that changes. But there are some truths that we believe that they don't change. Sometimes we try to fight the changes. And sometimes too quickly people embrace changes, say, oh, that's the new way. Where do we stand in all this? Today, the very definition of family is being questioned. We heard in the Gospel, we heard in the book of Genesis, you know, the man will leave his family, will join a woman, and the two will become one flesh. The two will become one. And that's the family that will begin. Nowadays, they will say that no, that's one kind of family. There are, I don't know how many we could say, you know, every now and then a new kind of family shows up. You know, it's like not so much what is prescribed is what I think, what I believe. And there is a danger there when we put what I, you know, and the I is very big, because we have to question, since when I, big I, has become the norm for deciding the things in the world. Sometimes we, you know, we go that direction. And the Pope, speaking to the bishops, also, I believe it was in Philadelphia because he had so many speeches, he was talking that we should not get entangled with that idea, you know, even if society will change the definition, even if the constitution, even if juridically all the names and things, what they say, will define differently what a family is, we still will proclaim the faith. In our faith, the family that we believe in. It doesn't matter what other. The church does not move for what is the latest trend of the day. Nowadays, that's the trend. There are some things that are not important. Okay, the change that can change the ways, you know. However, there are truths that cannot be changed. Now, we are, I believe, all faced with difficult situations in that. The gospel is talking about divorce and adultery and these. And those are things that perhaps we don't talk much, but we are all in our families somehow, I believe, affected. It's very difficult, I believe, to find one person who have not experienced some of that in the family. Maybe not the immediate family, but you know, if it didn't happen to you, but your brother, your cousin, I don't know, a friend or somebody who has been affected by the reality of divorce is there. My family, it's there too. It means what? It means that we don't live in a perfect world. We don't live in a perfect society that everything is nice and beautiful and everybody is always smiling and... No, we live in a real world. However, it's very important. Again, I go, we don't follow just a trend and say, oh, since this is the world, it is right to change, you know, to change the way we preach, to change in what we believe. And some people, they just disagree and they walk away. They say, oh, the church has stopped in time. And they are still preaching for a few who think that they are holy people. No, that's not the church. The church is not preaching to holy people. I'm talking about me. You might be holy. I am not. So, in the sense that the church is preaching to those who envision in their lives to walk in a path towards holiness. That's different. We are not there yet, but we preach what we can achieve. You know, I usually ask those, you know, who hope one day to go to heaven here. Does anybody want to go to heaven? The option is not very good, the other option. I warn you. So we do. No, we do. Then if I ask, who is holy here? I might get a few, you know, hands up, but not as many as those wishing or willing to go into heaven, to enter heaven one day. But that's our journey. Because even if we are not holy yet, only saints will go into heaven. That's how they use, in the beginning of the church, we find in some of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, that's how they would treat one another, the saints in Christ, because they would consider those who follow the way of Christ, they were the saints, you know, progressing towards that. And that should be the journey, that's what is the direction of our lives. Meaning, our situation is not perfect. Yet, the preaching and the goal of our lives has to be, we have to have our eyes set towards that direction. And this love, that's how we understand God's mercy. Pope has declared the year of mercy, and he keeps on repeating, he keeps on saying, because it's not enough. Sometimes we got used to see God as the judge who will separate. You are worthy, you are not worthy, you can come in, you stay outside. And we forget that God is the God of mercy. We understand that not to say, well, do whatever you want, whenever you want, with whoever you want. No, that's not how we understand that. But we understand that when we have all our intentions to do well, and for many families to bring up their kids the best way they can, sometimes they don't come up the best way. Sometimes the marriage doesn't work out. The dreams that were there. And the church, as the church is the mother, gives the opportunity to see that, to revise that. Just a word, because it's been the media, which is good, that the church has been there, front pages, and they're talking. The only question is that sometimes the media is talking what they think it is, and they're not relating exactly what the church means when the Pope says something. You know, just be aware, because there are so many words that people can just place there and just put down Pope Francis, and Pope perhaps never intended that. I believe one of those meetings that they said they were trying to use that and make that so big and so huge, and the Pope and this, and the Vatican has said, you know, the Pope met so many people his trip, and the fact of meeting people is not endorsing anyone or this or that, is just that he meets whoever they bring in front of him and he greets because he's a polite man. You know, that's the way things sometimes work. But a few weeks ago, we heard about the question of annulment for marriages that didn't work out. People had to divorce. They were married in church. They cannot get a second marriage in church. There is no divorce in the Catholic Church. What God has joined, man must not divide, or human being must not divide. That's what we heard. So there's no divorce. Yet what the church sees is some marriages should never have happened. Somebody's forced into a relationship of marriage and didn't have the intention to be there, didn't want to be there, is one of many reasons to say that marriage never happened. It apparently happened, you see that, but the intention was not there, so the sacrament could not be there, because sacrament is conscious, is not something just wishful. And then the church will say, this marriage never happened. And this person, therefore, is free to marry in church, according to the church, for the first time, not the second time, because the first one was not a marriage in the eyes of the church, in the eyes of God, in before God. So those are things that sometimes we can explore and we don't even know about it. But what is most important is to understand that the family that we live in today, bishops, cardinals are meeting in the Vatican, and with also representatives from families and laity from all over the world, for what is called this meeting a synod, which is a meeting that we'll discuss. And of course, the media is already saying, what is the result? What is going to happen? And then they say, nothing happened, because nothing that they wanted to happen. But we're not following just what is, you know, the fashion of the day. We are discussing how to evangelize, how to bring Jesus' message to the family in a way that is effective, in a way that will bring the family together as living God's love that should be there, the respect that should be there, the love that is not only words but is concrete, the forgiveness that must be there. The Pope said one of the things And I heard this many years ago from another priest was also preaching about families. And this is not only family, friendships. He says, in your house, in your home, do you talk or sometimes do you shout at each other? Yeah, we can shout, but we shout for some, you know, to call the attention of someone who's across the street, who's far away. But sometimes we shout at each other when they are inside the same room. Your voice becomes louder and louder in one side and the other side. And then we ask why we have to shout if the person is so close, he can hear you perfectly. Well, physically, they're close. Their hearts are far away. Their hearts are far away. We have the illusion that if I raise my voice, they will understand it. And no, we can't. May you never go to sleep every night without forgiving, without asking for forgiveness. May never, and the center of the family, never miss the respect, the compassion, the understanding. Sometimes we are destroying what would be the basis of our lives and our society. We want to build a beautiful world. And with stones and heavy blocks and everything, however, we are forgetting what is the base. Everything might collapse because there is no base, and the family is the base of our world. So as we pray for families, we remember, and I say again, that we don't live yet in perfect families. Maybe some might live, but let us never get discouraged. The church is not turning the back on anyone, or any family, or any person. But the church believes, and we have to believe, that many things can be worked out when we are humble, when we respect, when we believe in love, and we are not going just the sway of the moment, and we think this is the moment. Sometimes we see one problem as the whole world. They are a moment, and we have to, many ways, there are many ways of working that out. May the Lord give us that inspiration. May the Lord fill our hearts with love, and may we have the heart and spirit of children, as Jesus said. If we have that, then we'll trust one another. We'll trust the Lord, and we will inherit the kingdom of God, and we'll enter the heaven that one day that we hope the Lord will welcome each of us.